So today, the sermon that I've got here, it's entitled "The Power of Praying Parents." You know, as I think about the words of that song just then, you know, it's the prayer of every parent is that they want their children to have that relationship with Jesus, to have that lasting relationship. You know, today's actually a extra special day for us because Ryan is home with us as well. So he got in yesterday, so it's a real extra blessing today to have him with us. So the text that I have for today, it was read earlier, but I'd like to read it again here. It's from 3 John verse 4. It says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." And that really is, for a Christian parent, what better thing to say? I'm going to tell a story about a man named Larry. You know, Larry was rough-looking, heavily covered with tattoos, up and down his arms, on his neck, even on his head. He was the head deacon of his church. You know, many would look and be taken aback by the look of this individual. You know, we try not to be judgmental, but how can we understand how a church would let someone that had that appearance, as rough as this guy looked, to be the head deacon? I'm going to tell part of his story. He grew up in the church, was the product of Adventist education from elementary school until the first year of college. When he got to college, he did not feel he fit in with the strict rules and regulations. He left school and ended up joining the Hells Angels. He totally embraced the gang life. Drugs, women, drinking, full body tattoos. During Larry's years away from God, his mother woke up at 5 o'clock every morning to pray for her son. She had little contact with him. She often did not know where Larry even was, whether he was dead or alive, in jail or out of jail, but she kept clinging to that hope that we have. For 15 years, Larry's mother faithfully prayed for her son and claimed Bible promises on his behalf. 15 years later, Larry finally decided it was time to leave the Hells Angels. He and his girlfriend had settled down in the San Francisco Bay Area. He got a job, but he stole from his boss to support his drug habits. He was caught and fired. Soon after that, he ran out of money. He and his girlfriend were evicted from their apartment, and shortly thereafter, she left him. Larry, unable to recover, lived on the streets of San Francisco. He ate from trash cans and scavenged for necessities. Larry became so depressed that he felt suicide was the only option. So one Sabbath morning, he took his gun and pointed it at his head. With his finger on the trigger, he heard a voice telling him to go to church. He had not been to church in 15 years, so he ignored the voice. Resetting his grip, he heard the voice again saying, "Go to church." He tried to ignore the voice again. This happened several times. How did Larry respond? What happened to him? We'll get back to that shortly. I want to focus on covering our children with prayer. You know, every day we find ourselves doing a lot for our children, whether it's just loving for them and caring for them, nurturing them, providing for their needs. It could be helping them, leading them, equipping, encouraging, protecting them. We spend precious hours of our lives just living out life, taking them to sporting events and activities, helping them with their homework. We spend money on sports, on lessons, various classes to help them grow and become all that they can be, to provide them with the opportunities that we feel that they need for them to get them to do what they most love in this world. We want to see the best for our children, but in the midst of our busy, full lives, we need to ask ourselves, are we taking the time to pray for our children? not referring to those quick little prayers that we may say for them. I mean, really praying specific, powerful, promise-filled, hope-inspired prayers. The only thing of eternal significance that will stand the test of time is the prayers that we pray for our children. Our prayers for our children will never die. They live on in their lives. Their relationship with Jesus is the only thing they can take with them to heaven. And for this, we should pray for them. There's nothing more powerful than the earnest prayers of parents who humbly kneel down and lift their children before the Lord. From the Adventist Home, page 266, it's written, "The power of a mother's prayers cannot be too highly estimated. She who kneels beside her son and daughter through the vicissitudes of childhood, through the perils of youth, will never know till the judgment the influence of her prayers upon the life of her children. If she is connected by faith with the Son of God, the mother's tender hand may hold back her son from the power of temptation, may restrain her daughter from indulging in sin. When passion is warring for the mastery, the power of love, the restraining, earnest, determined influence of the mother may balance the soul on the side of right." You know, there is a difference when parents pray for their children. Those children are protected by God. They often decide to follow God, and more often than not, come back to the Lord even when they go astray. Prayers are powerful because we have a God who can do even the impossible when we pray. And when we think of Hannah prayed for a child at a time when it was determined that she wasn't able to have children, but she prayed for a child. And God did honor those prayers. You know, it says in 1 Samuel 1:27, "I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him." And my hope is that every parent will be able to claim this promise on behalf of their children. I'd like to share with you 7 important areas for which to pray concerning your children. At the end of this sermon, it's a 31-day prayer plan that I've got photocopied here to hand out. So I'd like for each family to get a copy of that before we leave today. The first area of prayer is praying for our children's salvation. Well, that's certainly a great desire for us in this world, is to see our children walking in the Lord. Just as we had read in 3 John 4, "To have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." So I want to pray that my children will have an experience like Paul, who said, "I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. When children do this, is there any greater joy that a parent can have?" So when we pray for our children's salvation, I have a prayer here. It says, "Father, I pray that my daughter will confess with her mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in her heart that you have raised Christ from the dead. May my daughter call on your name. Father, lead my daughter in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. I pray that you will shed your love abroad in her heart and teach my daughter to delight in you. Jesus, bind Satan and break his power over my daughter, for he is a defeated foe. Please send your angels and godly men and women to minister to my daughter. Holy Spirit, I ask that you draw my daughter to Jesus Christ and into a close, personal relationship with him. Thank you, Lord, for your gift of salvation. Thank you for saving my daughter. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen." And we want to focus on our children's character. You know, when we think of our children's character, I have a strong desire that they will have the character of Christ. I want my children to be Christ-like. I want me to be Christ-like. You know, the Apostle Paul's prayer was that they would follow his example. And we pray that our children would not only know doctrine, but that they would know Jesus and have his character. Our greatest hope is that others will be able to see him through them, that their light will shine forth to others, and they will see Jesus through the good deeds and glorify, that they will glorify their Father in heaven. It is not enough to simply wish that our children would be like Jesus. We must be godly examples of Christ for our children. You know, we must earnestly pray his character into their lives. There is no greater act of worship than to be Christ-like, for we were created in his image for fellowship with him. When we think of a prayer for our children's characters, Father, thank you that my son is your child. You have chosen him to be holy, and he is dearly loved. Out of that love, may my son's life be marked by tender-hearted mercy, by kindness, by humility, by gentleness, and by patience. May he grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let my son's light shine before others, that they may see his good deeds and glorify you. I pray that my son will be quick to forgive an offense, forgiving as quickly and completely as you forgave us. And above all else, I pray that he will live a life of love which binds us all together in perfect unity. May my son's heart be filled with the peace of Christ and thankfulness. Let every detail of my son's life, words, actions, and thoughts be done in the name of Jesus, thanking you every step of the way. May my son learn to do right, seek justice, and defend the oppressed. May he take up the cause of the fatherless and plead the case of the widow. I pray my son will serve you faithfully with all his heart and consider what great things you have done for him. In Jesus' name, amen. What about the relationships of our children? And we want our children to have good relationships. We need to be lifting up the relationships of our children as we go as well. We want them to, the importance of the relationship of a spouse. It's what more important decision will they make than who to spend the rest of their life with. We want to ensure that the Lord is leading them, that Christ leads them as they make their selections. Ask God to protect our children daily from those who would be an evil influence to them. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. That's Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. One of the biggest influences on our children will be their friends. And we need to pray that God will bring committed Christians into the lives of our children. That just like the apostle Andrew, that their paths will cross people that will lead them to Jesus. We might even pray that God will miraculously remove a friend of questionable character from our child's life. When we pray for our children's relationships, Father, bring to my children's paths the friends you want them to have. Lord, keep them from wrong influences. Provide my children with godly relationships and fun things to do that are also pleasing to you. Father, thank you that my children walk in the way of godly Christians and keep the paths of the righteous. Thank you, Father, that you provide wise and godly friends for my children. May my children find godly spouses that will encourage them in their faith and walk with the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. The fourth area is for joy. We all want our children to be happy. Joy in our children's lives is something that's very important to us. I know I hate to see my children sad. I want to see them happy. I want to see them have joy in their life. It's God's desire to lavish our children with happiness beyond measure. When we think of joy, joy is actually found over 200 times in the Bible. Joy is even one of the fruits of the Spirit, a result of having the Holy Spirit in our lives. The ultimate joy is having God's presence in our children's lives. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures in you, at your right hand. Psalm 16:11. Ultimately, only God can offer total, eternal happiness. This is joy based on contentment in the Lord. Paul says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Philippians 4:12 and 13. When we pray for our children's joy, O Jesus, you alone know what will make my daughter happy and whole. You alone have set her on the path of eternal happiness in your presence, so do whatever you think is best. I only ask that you will fill her with your Holy Spirit. As I place her in your hands, may your joy be her strength. May she be encouraged in her heart and united in love, so that she may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that she may know you. May my daughter keep her life free from the love of money and be content with what she has. Because you have said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. May your presence and eternal delight rest in her heart, mind, and soul forever. In Jesus' name, amen. What about for protection? You know, we need to, every day, claim the promises of protection. When we look at Psalm 91, when we pray on our children's behalf, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Psalm 91, verses 1 to 7. Today I pray a prayer of protection on behalf of my children for the many dangers they face every day. I also ask God to protect them from sin and evil. Every day they face such temptations, such as drugs, alcohol, even friends who could lead them down the wrong paths. In our struggle against evil, we are dealing with spiritual powers. Therefore, we are to put on the whole armor of God and stand against the attacks of the evil one. The armor of God is identified in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 13. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. One powerful weapon that every Christian parent has is the ability to pray a daily hedge around our children. We need to be specific in claiming the promises in Scripture that are related to the kind of protection that is needed for our children. For the protection from sin, you can claim a verse such as Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you. For protection from discouragement, you could claim this promise, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Deuteronomy 31:6. When we pray for our children's protection, Father, In the name of Jesus, I pray a hedge of protection around my children. I thank you that you are a wall of fire around them. Thank you that you have given your angels charge over my children to keep them in all their ways. I thank you that your angels surround them while they are out and away from home. Thank you that you protect them from harm, accidents, and all kinds of danger. In peace may they lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make them dwell in safety. Thank you, Lord, that you are the fortress and the refuge of my children. Thank you that your word is a lamp for their feet and a light for their path. Thank you that the wicked one can't touch them, and no evil will befall them. Father, bless them and keep them. Make your face shine on them and be gracious to them. Turn your face toward them and give them peace. In Jesus' name, amen. The sixth area is when we pray for our children's future. You know, it's our sincere prayer that our children will walk and forever walk faithfully with the Lord. We want Jesus to be their lifelong friend and Savior. We want to pray that they will choose Jesus to be their guide in every decision that they make in their lives. That they will follow after the Lord's will. They will not make decisions based solely on logic or the needs of the moment, but be based on God's will guided by the Holy Spirit. We must ask God to help them make wise decisions. One of the most important decisions they will make is the choice of a spouse. You know, we need them to be wise in that decision. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. James 1:5. We pray that our children will desire God's will, surrender their lives, and ask Him to be their directing agent. We pray for our children to have a future that is secure in Christ. He is in control and will be present with them long after we are gone. Lord, I thank you that you know the plans you have for my son, to prosper him and not to harm him, to give him hope and a future. May you supply all of his emotional, physical, and spiritual needs according to your riches and glory. I pray that my son will not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But may his delight be in your law, and may he meditate on it day and night. I pray that my son will trust in you with all his heart, and lean not on his own understanding. In all his ways submit to you, and that you will make his paths straight. May my son forget what is behind, and always strive toward what is ahead. May he be confident that the good work you began in him will be carried out to completion until you come again. In Jesus' name, amen. And seventh, for faithfulness. We want our children to be faithful in the small things and in the big things in life. The early church was very faithful in their church attendance, praise, and worship and prayer. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. We yearn for our children to do the same thing. When the time comes that they must make a stand for their faith, we want to pray that they will be able to make that stand, just as Daniel's three friends did, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I always think of this story as a story that, it really stands for a children's story, but I think there's so much that we as adults can gain from that. When we look at the choice that was before the three Hebrew boys, they had the choice to either bow down and worship the king in order to avoid the fiery furnace, or they could stand for God and be placed in the furnace with the potential of dying. King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it and we will and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Daniel 3:16-18. What faith it must take to be able to stand at that moment. In order to make sure we are faithful in the big things, we need to be faithful in the little things. Luke writes, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. A prayer for our children's faithfulness. Lord, you are always faithful to us. Your word shows us time and time again that you are faithful. I pray that my children will be faithful to you, that you would not wander from, that they would not wander from you. I pray that you teach them what it means to be faithful to you, to your word, and to your church. Give them steadiness as they follow you. Teach them to be faithful in small, simple acts of faith, as well as big acts of faith. I pray that like Joshua, they will be, they will declare, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Lord, I pray that you would be, that they would be like Daniel, who could have avoided the lion's den, but chose instead to be faithful to God. I pray that you will give them your spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. I pray that they will be strong and courageous and not be afraid, but to stand for you at all times. In Jesus' name, amen. So let me now return to the story of Larry, the ex-Hell's Angel gang member, whose mother prayed him back to God. After several suicide attempts and hearing the voice of God, Larry finally gave in to the voice and went to a church in the San Francisco area. The church was full, so Larry sat in the last pew of the church. Because he was living on the streets with no access to shower, no basic hygiene, he smelled so bad that everyone sitting within a 5-pew radius got up and left the sanctuary. The pastor soon stood up to preach. He put his Bible and notes on the pulpit and looked out at the congregation. Larry caught his attention. The pastor leaned forward, staring at Larry. And for about a minute, he was just staring before going back to his notes. But he could not preach. He was at a loss for words. Once again, he leaned forward to stare at Larry. And once again, he unsuccessfully went back to his notes. Now the whole church began to focus on Larry. Still unable to preach, the pastor left the pulpit and started walking to the back of the church. He headed straight for Larry. He fell at his feet, embraced him, hugging and kissing him, and crying for joy. Larry had been his roommate in college. Of all the churches for Larry to go to, he came to one where God had prepared unconditional love for him. 1 month before Larry gave up his suicide attempt and went to church, the pastor and his wife had hosted a group of some of their college friends who were traveling to Yosemite Park. So that evening after supper, the group reminisced about their college days and pulled out their yearbook. And flipping through the pages, they saw a picture of Larry and started talking about, wonder what happened to Larry. And they spoke about what they knew of his life, that he had left God, that he had gotten into a life of drugs and crime and gang life. And after a moment, they stopped their conversation, feeling convicted to pray for Larry. The following day, when their friends went home, the pastor and their wife made a commitment to pray every day for Larry in hopes of seeing him again. A month later, Larry showed up at their church. No sermon was preached that Sabbath. Instead, the pastor shared this story, and the church celebrated. On this evening, Larry was there with his fiance, and after the dinner, Larry and his fiance got up and left. Following that, a few minutes later, a couple in their 60s left. Then another guy got up and left. You know, curious to know what was going on, we find out that they had gone out to one of the side rooms. The people who rose to leave were the parents and brother of Larry's fiance. Larry was giving them Bible studies. Now we can understand why this special man was the head deacon of that church. The faithful prayers of Larry's mother and the prayers of his former classmates did not return void. They were answered in an incredible way. Larry did come back to his family, to the Lord, and to the church. As you pray for your children, pray through Scripture. Start a prayer journal in which family and friends write prayers for them. Form a prayer circle. Turn your worries into prayers. Develop a prayer war room, putting prayers and answers to prayers on the wall. You'll pray big, intensely, defensively, and offensively with your children and with your spouse. Our children need our persistent Bible-based prayers. When we form our prayers from the Scripture, we are speaking God's own will for them. We must make a commitment to pray for them all their lives. It is the best gift we can give them. Being a parent is tough. But God calls us to persevere in this endeavor, fixing our eyes upon Him. It requires patience, humbleness, selflessness, and truth. Our love for our children must protect, trust, hope, persevere, and never fail. My desire is that we will continue to pray for our children and grandchildren until all of us are safely home with Him.